Welcome to this week's episode of Business Wise. This is a podcast series for entrepreneurs interested in expanding through learning and applying the management system discovered and developed by humanitarian, philosopher, and administrator, Mr. L. Ron Hubbard. Today, we're going to teach you something from L. Ron Hubbard that is rarely taught, actually, in business schools or by business gurus, that can change your life dramatically for the better. It smiles on the faces of your staff, dramatically raise production and morale, and you will probably wonder why the heck others don't teach this, because it makes so much sense. I'll tell you why I believe it's not taught, and that is because the fundamental information on which it is based was discovered by Mr. Hubbard, and no one else has it. It is the data that we went over when we did episodes 10 and 11 of Volume 5, episodes we released only a few weeks ago, and which you should review after this one, on the social and the antisocial personality. Only L. Ron Hubbard had the tenacity and confront to delve into the subject of the antisocial personality. And yet this is ranked by him as the highest of all technical skills, the ability to differentiate between the social and the antisocial personality. I dare some of these business gurus to start discussing this subject, but I suspect some of them as being a little on the antisocial side themselves, so I doubt if they'll take me up on it. But you, fair listener, you cannot know this subject too well. Now, in the title, we referred to the toxic customer. Now, toxic is a pretty late 20th century term. It's not one that Mr. Hubbard particularly used, but it's certainly in the common business vernacular today. And actually, the antisocial personality is very much in today's vocabulary. You could say a toxic personality and an antisocial personality have certain common denominators, certain commonalities here. The way toxic personality is defined here, it refers to a pattern of behavior exhibited by individuals that negatively impacts others and possibly themselves. I'm reading from the internet here. These behaviors can include manipulation, excessive negativity, selfishness, emotional volatility, and lack of empathy. A person with a toxic personality often creates an environment of stress, discomfort, or conflict around them. So this would quite aptly describe an antisocial personality per Mr. Hubbard's attributes that we went over in the earlier episodes here. But listen to what comes next from this article I'm reading from. And it just sort of illustrates the point of the vagueness that surrounds this subject before Mr. Hubbard really dug into it and nailed down 12 precise attributes of the antisocial personality and 12 precise attributes of the social personality so that you can differentiate between the two. And you need to balance the factors. You have to balance these attributes in examining any individual to really determine whether they are social or antisocial. But in the article I'm reading you from that I just looked up here randomly on the internet, listen to this next part because it really illustrates how vague this subject is. It says here, it's important to note that the label toxic is subjective and can depend on the perspectives and boundaries of those involved in the relationship. What one person views as toxic may be tolerable or even unnoticed by someone else. Moreover, describing someone as having a toxic personality can oversimplify complex human behavior, which might be influenced by a range of factors, including environmental stressors, personal experiences, and mental health conditions. Yeah, you ain't kidding. It involves mental health conditions. But the point is, it's vague, it's mushy, it's subjective. And Mr. Hubbard said, no, it's not. It's not. You can look at and objectively evaluate whether a person is a social or an antisocial personality. So here's a marked differentiation between the concept of a toxic personality as it's used today and what Mr. Hubbard is defining with precision as the antisocial personality. But nonetheless, we use the word toxic in our title, and we're talking about the handling of the toxic customer. Very, very, very important subject as we are going to go over with you now. So with the release of those two episodes of Business Wise, and some of you are already familiar with this information, the average executive or business owner probably thinks with this data largely in applying it to his choice of partners, life partners, employees, obviously, friends. But I'll tell you where it is seldom. This data on the social and antisocial personality, let me tell you where I find it is seldom applied, in my experience at least, and that is to customers. Now, conventional wisdom is that the customer is always right. No, they aren't. Sometimes they are antisocial. If they're always right, then that makes you and those you have recruited to your team wrong, doesn't it?
How may I help you?
I'm sorry.
And what do you do with members of the team that are chronically wrong? You get rid of them, right? So if you have an antisocial that is constantly negating and invalidating your employees, and that gets back to you, if the customer is always right, who are you going to target? There's an old trick that we learned as sales managers back in the day. If we had a salesperson who was struggling or bugged, of course, we would do the usual in terms of training and drilling and monitoring their outflow and these normal actions. But if things just stay bugged, we would grab their lineup and go over the names of the prospects one by one that they had on their lineup. And guess what? We would discover that they have antisocial personalities on their lineup, naturally. If you recall the attributes of the antisocial that we went over in that recent episode, they deal mainly, quote, this is a quote from Mr. Hubbard, in bad news, critical or hostile remarks, invalidation, and general suppression, end quote. Is that what you want on the lines of your salespeople or your customer service staff? Holy cow. And you wonder why your loyal Sally Smith has become an evil monster of late. You better teach your people the skills of identifying the antisocial amongst your customers or clients, and then you better figure out how you're going to deal with them, or their lives are going to be miserable, and then so will yours. Now, these two earlier episodes I'm referencing here were based on an article from Mr. Hubbard, dated 27 September 1966, where he also stated, referring to the antisocial, quote, as they only comprise 20% of the population, and as only 2.5% of this 20% are truly dangerous, we see that with a very small amount of effort, we could considerably better the state of society, end quote. So we're looking at a percentage of society that is about 20%, right? So it's not the majority that's antisocial. But if you think that 100% of the customers you service are social personalities, you're going to be whistling past the graveyard, my friend. So, when they get on the lines of your business and you continue to communicate with them, you continue to try to handle them, what do you think is going to be the impact on your business, positive or negative? Today, we expand a bit on this subject from a lecture from Mr. Hubbard. It's dated 8 June 1965, as his research into the antisocial was developing, and he goes over some very interesting and important application of this data as it applies to groups and organizations and those that they service. Now, let's clear up two terms he uses here, which are very important to understand. One is the word theta, T-H-E-T-A, theta, which in this context simply means, and this is from a book by Mr. Hubbard called Science of Survival, very interesting book on the subject of theta. The definition here, quote, theta is reason, serenity, stability, happiness, cheerful emotion, persistence, and the other factors which man ordinarily considers desirable. L. Ron Hubbard. So theta comes from the Greek letter theta, which was used by the Greeks to represent thought or reason or even life force. So we're going to go into, in this lecture we're quoting from, he uses this word theta, which is talking about reason, serenity, stability, happiness, good things, right? Then he also uses the word n theta, which means enturbulated theta. Now, turbulate means to cause to be turbulent or agitated and disturbed. So you've probably been in turbulated after a fight. Maybe you were feeling quite theta. You know, life was good. You woke up, had your coffee, you worked out. Beautiful sunny day. And then you had a fight with a spouse or an employee or customer, and you were in turbulated. It felt like that theta got messed up. So in theta means in turbulated theta, thought or life, especially refers to communications, which, based on lies and confusions, are slanderous, choppy, or destructive in an attempt to overwhelm or suppress a person or group. So that's N theta. So you can have theta communications, which are full of reason, serenity, stability, happiness, and so on, cheerful. And then you can have N theta communications, which are meant to confuse. They're based on lies. They're slanderous, choppy, or destructive. There's an attempt to overwhelm or suppress a person or group. Okay, so that's N theta. Theta communication, N theta communication. All right. So now, on to this lecture. So he's giving this lecture to staff and technical personnel of an organization that he is administering or was administering at the time. And he's talking about public writing in or communicating into the group or into the organization. This was, again, 1965. Didn't have emails, didn't have social media, lots of other avenues for theta and in theta these days. But anyway, he's talking about letters here. So he says, quote, somebody writes you a nasty letter. I'm not talking about somebody who is simply interpolated or something like that. Somebody writes you nasty letter. You know, you could have a momentary interpolation. You could have an upset customer, you get an upset client, and we all have those moments. It doesn't make you an antisocial personality that you're upset here and there. We're talking about someone who's chronically writing in N theta, nasty, choppy letters. So he says, but somebody writes you nasty letters and you dogs, you bums, and that sort of thing. You mean, and this is Mr. Hubbard's words here, you mean everybody on staff has got to read this thing? What's the popularity here for N theta? These are Mr. Hubbard's words. I'm just going to now make my own comment about this. Isn't it interesting that N theta seems to grab everybody's attention? Some upset customer, some bad review on Google or Yelp or something like that. Next thing you know, the whole office knows about it, right? Whereas now, remember, this is about 20%. What about the 80% that are winning? Like, when do people hear about that? You have to actually consciously set up a department practically in your organization. In fact, many organizations do. They have the Department of Success just to make sure the success stories are broadly publicized, not just to the public, but to the staff as well, right? So that they also see that, hey, man, overall, we do fantastically well. There's 20% that are weird, you know, and they're going to write their data. They're going to write their crap, okay? So he says, what's the popularity here for N theta? Because, going back to Mr. Harvard's words, because there's only a maximum at any given time of 20%. 20% is the absolute maximum that N theta or impolite letters go. See, you can count on it, no matter how awesome you are. I suppose if you're really delivering rubbish or you have a criminal organization, which I seriously doubt that any of the listeners have such an organization, but that percentage could be higher. You could be getting some legit. But look at a social personality. If they don't like you, they just don't go back to you. They're not going to sit there and crank out Google reviews or write you choppy letters or try, you know, these anonymous reviews. They're not going to play that game, man. They ain't got time for that. Like, I'm not interested. 20%. Okay, the antisocial personalities, they're the ones you revel in this stuff. You know, sometimes you're shopping on Amazon or something like that, and let me look at the reviews. Man, some of these negative reviews, you got all these glowing reviews, and you have a handful of these really negative ones, and man, you can just tell the person writing it is having a ball. Like, this is their calling in life, to pull something out of the package and just tear it up one side down the other. I doubt if they write a positive review at all, ever. They're just not in that category. They're in the N theta category. They're in the 20%. So anyway, back to this. He says, because there's only a maximum at any given time of 20%. 20% is the absolute maximum that in theta or impolite letters go. You mean you're going to concentrate on this 20 and you're going to neglect the 80? You mean you're going to let everybody out there rot while you have a marvelous time playing ball with this 20? Again, Mr. Hubbard, he says, that doesn't seem to me to be the greater good. It seems to me to be a sort of a reverse super defensive look. And you'll find uniformly that as these letters and theta letters come through the line and chop up people, that they rather routinely get handed in to the highest executive in the place. Isn't that true, though? Like, you're the boss. You get all of them. Like, whoever shields you from the N theta letters, like, they just come streaming in. Bad news. Here you go. Right on your middle of your desk. You walk in on a morning, and there it is. So-and-so wants a refund, or so-and-so is having a problem for the umpteenth time. Like, they never get sorted, right? And so he says here, and yet you'll find uniformly that as these letters and theta letters come through the line and chop up people, that they rather routinely get handed in to the highest executives in the place because they will always require special handling. See, that's what happens. The 20%, they need special care. They need special love. They need special attention. They grab all your attention. At whose expense? The 80%, 80% that are happy with you, the 80% that deserve your attention and your admiration and your love, and the ones that are very appreciative of the service that your staff are giving you and are high-fiving the staff when they walk in and out of the door and, you know, being polite to the staff and making the staff feel important and valuable and wonderful. Who's making the staff feel miserable? Well, hopefully it's not you. Hopefully you're not in the 20% category. There's other reasons why you get bloody-minded, by the way. I will probably do a full episode on that. I've been thinking about doing it for you because sometimes you act uncharacteristically bloody-minded, and I'm going to let Mr. Hubbard shed a little bit of light on that maybe in our next episode. But anyway, we're sticking with the one on the customers right now. Of course, it's the customers they're dealing with. The customers who are always right, huh? And throwing your staff under the bus nonstop, okay? And then he goes on to say this. He says, but this funny frame of mind results. The highest executives in the place never see the other 80. Ha! They don't realize that 80% are just happy as clams. So they don't gauge their service for the 80%. They gauge their service for the 20%. So that's what happens, by the way. If you let this sort of thing go on and you don't handle it, we're going to get into how you handle it in a minute. First of all, if you're not aware of this sort of thing, and if you don't confront this sort of thing, you're going to find more and more that your services are geared towards the 20%, not the 80%. And guess what? You start losing the 80%, and the 20% are dominating your life, right? And they're dominating your business, and people are not winning. Their staff are not winning. They quit. They're low-toned. You're low-toned. You hate your life. You don't want to go to the office every day. You don't want to work. Why? You're servicing the wrong folks. You're gearing, engaging towards the 20 instead of the 80, okay? So then he says, they gauge their service for the 20%. So therefore, you've got to give them some method of handling that 20%. You got to give them some way to handle it so that it doesn't tangle up their lines so they don't service the 80. Do you see? That's from Mr. Hubbard. And he says, all we're trying to do here, you see, is bring service to the greater number of people. Well, that's very simple to do. And then he tells you exactly what to do. And this is what I want you to do. Quote, take the 20 off your lines. Ha! How complicated is this? Get rid of them. As one of my wise consultants used to say, flush them. Like, what are you doing? Dealing with these 20%, they're antisocial. Get them off your lines. That particular member that I am referring to that talks about flushing their customers or clients and recommending the same thing to their clients, that they flush the patients and customers that are giving them a hard time or that are, quote, toxic, end quote, they have a policy that in the first service, the first paid service, they actually interview every single customer and routinely, anyone who has anything negative to say about what's been going on or the services, they get a check. They get their full refund right back. There's the door. Thank you very much. No ands or buts, no questions asked. Thank you very much. Here's your refund. You're on your way. They drop them. They cut their communication to them. Mr. Hubbard says, take the 20 off your lines. Make other people disconnect from them. By the way, if you do this, when you do this disconnection from your customers or clients, you decide we're not servicing you anymore. There's a doctor down the road that can take care of you. Or why don't you take it to the auto repair shop down the street? Or send them to your worst enemy. Send them to somebody else. You know, I don't care what shift you use. Don't continue to stay in communication with them. You will be so much happier. You'll be so much better off. You're going to pull in so many more customers of the right kind, and your staff will love you as the great defender. You know, instead of your staff always being in bad because the 20% are always telling you how grim things are or how bad Sally Smith is, instead you say, well, no, I get it about Sally Smith. Thank you very much. By the way, I think I'm going to refer you to another specialist because I don't know that we can really help you here. You know, get them off your lines. Take the 20 off your lines. He says, make other people disconnect from them. Other people do. So make sure when you disconnect and you've decided, okay, we're not taking calls anymore from George Appleby or whatever his name is. Okay, George Appleby, we're going to drop him. You don't have to use the word flush. I probably shouldn't have used that term. But we're going to stop handling them. We're not going to stop communicating with them. We're going to drop them. We're just not going to take calls from them. And the letters that come in, they go to the trash. Okay. If they write us letters or if they write us reviews, well, you know, there's handlings for that too, but you just don't have to pay any attention to those. Bury those reviews with all the great reviews from your willing customers who are all too willing to support you and stick up for you and drown out the N-theta guy, the antisocial guy. Look at what he says here. Make other people disconnect from them. Other people do. That's what Mr. Hubbard says. If they're giving you a hard time, guess what? They're giving others a hard time too. So you drop them, tell other people to drop them, and they can go suppress a rock. Okay, they can go find a good rock and suppress that if they want to. They can issue all the invalidation and suppression they like to a rock somewhere in their backyard. All right. So, but he says, listen to this. He says, and the very funny part of it is, as soon as a ghost of a system goes in by which one can enforce a slightly greater degree of politeness on his environment, his reach is increased. You want to know what happens if you don't disconnect from these people, if you don't drop them, these N-theta lines? You're going to witness the reach of yourself and your employees and your salespeople will be reduced, will be reduced, will be reduced. Because, well, you know, we're doing our best, but you know, there's so many upset customers. It's not so many, it's 20%. Okay. So their reach is decreased, which is one of the reasons why we did this with our salespeople. Go through their lineup. Ah, this is an antisocial. Here you're getting a lot of suppression, you're getting a lot of invalidation, you're getting a lot of impoliteness, a lot of rudeness. Very strong indicator, by the way, is rudeness and impoliteness. We use it all the time here at YZ2S. Somebody's being pretty rude to us. It's like, okay, we got your number, buddy. Okay. Once you start having a system in place, which is, we're just describing a very simple system here, nothing very sophisticated, stop communicating with them. Discontinue, refer them somewhere else, get them off your lines. That's the only system we're advocating right now. There are more complex systems that you can use and more sophisticated organizations that you might need to take other actions with them. But for your part, if you're running, you know, a shoe store or an automotive shop or even a, you know, a high-tech company or whatever, just discontinue your communication with them. Don't accept the N-theta. Just drop it, okay? It's not even worth it because that N-theta is all about creating more N-theta. So if you go ahead and start handling that, all you're doing is interpolating the rest of the organization. If you are going to do something like that, make sure you designate one person to deal with that. If for some reason you're forced to deal with it, you have no option but to service or contact or commit to this person or connect with this person, make sure that that person, their line is extremely isolated to one person. This is also very effective with creditors and so forth that get in theta. Anyway, that's a whole other subject. But he says, you'd be very amazed what immediately happens. His reach is increased. And what has happened? He doesn't have to sit back here and hold it all in, you know? He's got a route to put it on. This is what you do. You do 1, 2, bang, zzz, that's that. What's 1, 2, bang, zzz? That's just, okay, we've considered that this person is someone we don't really want to service. We're going to discontinue communication. Here's our policies. We don't answer any of their letters. We don't answer any of their phone calls. We refer them to someone else, and we cease to communicate with them, and that's that. Just drop it, okay? So you form your policies on that. Of course, you know, due regard for any legal responsibilities you have with regard to the customer. You need to consult your attorney on it, something like that, and more complex issues. But if we're just talking about a customer who comes in and brings their cat to you, and they're constantly harping and carping on the staff, just refer them to another office and just drop it. Leave it alone. Move on. Work on the 80%. Quit focusing on the 20. So Mr. Huber goes on to say, well, after that's worked out, you know, the policies and so forth, well, after that's worked out and grooved in and so forth, then this person's reach is better. He doesn't have to stake for this nonsense. To stake for something is like put up with it. You know, go to the stake. You know, I'm willing to go to the stake to, you can burn me alive. I'm going to defend this to the end, you know. He doesn't have to stake for this nonsense because he's got something to do with it. So he won't argue with it. So here he won't stick into it, don't you see? Therefore, he, in an organization, can go up tone, not keep getting pulled down tone. See, it's all sound technology as far as we're going here. End quote. L. Ron Hubbard. Okay, so he's saying, set up your policies. You know, don't focus on the 20. You get the 20% on your lines. Work out your policies on how you're going to discontinue communication with that individual. In the case I gave you earlier, they just give them a full refund and send them on their way. Probably have to sign some document or whatever. And then they're just on their way out the door. They have their policy. They've worked out their channel. And this particular organization, this group, they probably know who I'm talking about if they're listening to this. They just have a wonderful, cocky, exhilarated team. Their customers and their clients are happy and winning and wonderful to deal with. And that's because they weed out the 20. They don't hang on to the 20. They're not stuck on that big, you know, got to get that sale. They're smart enough. They got plenty of sales coming in. Give the guy his money back and send him on his way. Okay. All right. So that's it. This is the social and antisocial as it applies to dealing with your customer base. Very often not talked about or considered in many business schools of thought, but it's very, very important. If you want to keep a high morale team and keep your lines clean and flowing, get the 20% off of your lines, figure out your policies and stick to them, and you'll have a much happier scene. There are other elements to this I probably will take up with you later because it is a very important subject, but that should get you going and help, I hope, considerably as you work to expand even a small business, you know. Even if it's just you and you're desperate for that customer, make sure that customer isn't a 20%er or you're never going to get to the 80%. Okay. All right. That's it for this week's episode of Business Wise. Hope you got something out of it. Do write us at info@wiseeastus.org. If you have questions or if you need help with anything, we're happy to hear from you. Give us a like if you liked the episode. And of course, leave your comments. They're always welcome. We read them all and we appreciate them. Thank you very much for listening. We'll talk again next week.